I apologize to you, Christina. I wrote that down wrong. I did want it. It was my fault. I put 1 through 9. It should have been 1 through 10. You can be seated. We're going to receive the tithes and offerings if the ushers want to pass out the envelopes. And the reason I had Jesse go back there and get the CD, the words, because there's so much in here that, I better wait, because they're all looking at us. That's right. The one thing you have got to do is everybody listening now. Please, I'm asking you to listen. The one thing you have to do is when you sing songs, you need to really concentrate on what you're singing. Because there is much salvation in here. It's talking about the second birth. You could have a second birth. And then it says that God will come to own you. Isn't that something that just, he owns you. Do you realize he owns you? Whoa. He owns you. How does he own you? What priced it? What was the blood? And what was the? Okay, this is another one. You're a new nation. You literally are. Do you realize the revelation knowledge and all this? You're a new nation. There's all the nations of the earth will be destroyed. And I've said this in prayer every time we've sung it. But all the nations in the world will be destroyed, including the United States. But the nation of Christians will not be destroyed. It will not. And you are literally a new nation. You don't really belong to this earth. It says you're a citizen of heaven in Philippians. You have your citizenship in heaven. And then it says you're translated from the kingdom of darkness. You are already done because you're born again and translated into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. But you're walking on the earth and you're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Representatives of Christ, doing something for Christ. Amen. We don't just live to get up in the morning, drink coffee, read something about the news or look at the TV. It isn't newspapers. It's TV and different things. And then to do the great American dream. There's more to all this than that. Your life is to be with Christ. And God has a plan for you. And that plan is so perfect that your needs will be met. Your body is healed. And you are walking in finances also. But see, most of us don't follow the plan because we get our own plan in there. And then sometimes when you're a lot older, you get the plan. But you know what? And you have to follow that plan. And even then, you can get off course. He had a great, that plan is so perfect. You are his workmanship, and it's a plan of God. Oh my goodness, there's so much in here. What CD, when you sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem," ever has, yes, you can be born again. And then it says, yes, you will be born again. There is so much. We're going to sing a couple more. There's more than that. And each one of it comes on the, this is a rare thing. We bought it like 25 years ago. This man was, Kent Henry, was only, he was like a praise and worship leader. You know what he is now? He's an apostle. He has a whole bunch of churches under him. I tried to look him up, and he was the first one. A bunch of us went, were you with me? Yeah, you were with me. You're probably the only one in here. Yeah. We went to, he had a music thing in Omaha, and we went to it. Yeah, I can remember. And I remember they took a break from that whole thing. It was really for choirs and instruments, really. But I just liked him so much. I mean, I liked his music so much. I thought, oh, he's coming to Omaha. And we were there, and that was the first thing anybody ever said to me. And I wasn't even a pastor. I wasn't a pastor then, was
no,
I?
We weren't pastors.
Nah, yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. He was walking. They were going to take a break. And he was actually, he was kind of fussing with his wife. And I was like, and he walked down there with her, and all of a sudden, I was talking to you girl, to the girls that were there, and all of a sudden, he just went, "Preacher woman," and he just walked on. No, I was not, because I went, "What?" Because I was feeling that, and he it was like a prophetic word, just bang, just like that. No, I was not. I don't think I was yet. I don't know. Anyway, we're receiving the tithes and offerings, and then we're going to sing a couple more songs. And then we're going to have a short sermon and receive communion tonight. So, again, because Jesus, and actually I put the wrong title down. It's Jesus, the re-entry of the glory, of God's glory. The re-entry of God's glory on earth. Okay, we can receive it. And so you can actually start the music then. Hallelujah. Yeah. Here. Yeah, that's right.
Blessed are you among women. When she saw him, she was greatly troubled and confused and wondered what this greeting meant. And the angel said to her, "Have no fear, Mary, for you have God's approval. He loves you dearly."
Okay. Well, it says in Psalm 19:1, and I'll just read it. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament declares his handiwork. So go to Luke 2:8, we'll read 8 through 14. He probably read it on Sunday too, but Luke 2. So, Luke 8. Well, let's start with 7, I guess. Mary actually gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room or place for them in the inn. And in that vicinity, there were shepherds living out under the open sky in the field, waiting in shifts over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you by which you will recognize him. You will find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And there suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of the, now this was an army of the troops of heaven. And so, see, these were warrior angels protecting a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased, men of goodwill of his favor." Okay, now on Sunday we were talking about the fact that these particular shepherds were watching over the very kind of sheep that would be used in sacrifices. But they laid him in, this manger was made of like cement. I mean, you know, I don't know what they called it then, but it was cement, and they put real soft hay because they didn't want any broken bones on the little baby lambs that were being born. And they were the particular shepherds, and you see the final lamb was coming. And that's the ones that angel visited. I mean, you know, that's just, it all just goes together. Sure. So, but they were announcing more than the birth of a baby. They were announcing God's wonderful plan to lift man back into the glory of God. Back into the glory of God. Do you see the Adam? The glory was on Adam. And when he betrayed God and, you know, ate the forbidden fruit, that glory left Adam, and that's why they thought they were naked. Okay, so the glory of God is God manifested by the Holy Spirit. Now, what is it? It's, we keep repeating, it's God's presence, it's God's power, and it's God's goodness. That's what the glory is. And it was manifesting all in Jesus. Now, God created, okay, John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh. Okay, the Word of God. He was made flesh. And we beheld His glory. We should read it. You got it up there? Yeah. And the Word Christ became flesh, human incarnate. In other words, He could live in man. And tabernacled, fixed His tent of flesh, lived a while among us. And we actually saw His glory, His honor. Selah means think on that one. His honor. And oh no, but you know, people get mad at me or get mad at us because, you know, well, because of, we want to honor God and reverence God and the way we dress and in the way we act and the integrity of paying bills and everything. Everything is honor. That's honor. We beheld the honor, and the honor was in the Son of God. His majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from His Father, the Father God, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Could you put up the King James too? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten. And the Word was made flesh. Read it with me. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Okay. It was God's presence. His power and His goodness came back to earth. Now, He created you in His own image. And I want to just say something about that. Even the angels asked, what is man? Okay, with that, let's first go to Psalm 8. And then we'll go to Hebrews 2. Psalm 8. And we'll start with verse 4. Because the angels were the one asking this. I got that from Billy Brim. But, yeah. Okay, it says, what is man? They were, oh my goodness. Okay. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of earth-born man, that you even care about him. Yet you, now, this is out of the Amplified. In the King James, it says it a little bit different. Yet you have made him but a little lower than God. Man is made a little lower than God. In the King James, it says a little lower than the angels. That is a misinterpretation. Well, the word angel in Hebrew means Elohim, and that is God. So He made you just a little lower than Him. Our heavenly beings, and you have crowned man with glory and with honor. So we ought to display that honor on the earth. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. You made him to have authority. Oh, that's a snake. Take authority. Oh, there's a spider. Take authority. Oh, there's a mouse. Oh, take authority. I think mice are cute. Anyway, you have put all things under his feet. Whose feet? Your feet. Okay. But then it says, all the sheep and oxen and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea, whales, killer whales. Oh, Lord, how excellent and majestic and glorious is your name in all the earth. Let's go to Hebrews 2 now. Hebrews 2, verse 5. Okay, we'll do it out of the Amplified. Oh, wait a minute. Verse 5. That's right. For it was not to angels that God subjected the habitable world of the future. You know, you see an angel and you go, oh, but you know what? You're greater than angels. It was not to angels that God subjected the habitable world of the future of which we are speaking. It has been solemnly and earnestly said at a certain place in Psalm 8. What is man that you're mindful of? The angels asked. What is this person, this man that you made? Why are you so, particular about him? The son of man that you graciously and helpfully care and visit and look after him. For some little time, you, Elohim, have ranked man lower than and inferior to the angels. That was before Jesus came and redeemed us. You have crowned him now, though, with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. He did it in the first place in the Garden of Eden, and then Adam messed it up. You see, and then he brought it back through Jesus. And we got to start operating in it. Take authority over your body. Take authority over sickness. Take authority over stuff. Verse 8, for you have put everything in subjection under man's feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of man's control. But at present, we do not yet see all things subjected to this man because man's not using it. Or does it know? Okay, well, we're going to stop right there on that. Let's see, 5-9. But we are able to see Jesus, who was ranked lower than the angels. You know when Jesus was, somebody asked me about this once. Okay, Jesus was ranked lower than the angels while he was in hell with our sins and sicknesses. He had to be, right? He was full of our sins. He was full of our sicknesses. He took them. Okay. For a little while, crowned with glory and honor because of his having suffered death. But then he was crowned with glory and honor because he suffered for our death in order that by grace, the grace of God to us sinners, he might experience death for every individual person. I'll tell you this, it is awesome. So the angels saw God himself crown man with glory and honor. So God actually arose from his throne. He walked over to this man that he created and he placed a crown on his head. And that revealed man's position in God's eyes. Okay, I'll say this first. The crown was not made of diamonds or gold. Glory. You know what? It was made. The God paves the streets with gold up in heaven. The crown was made of the heaven's most precious, valuable substance, the glory. And so, see, the glory of God had sat on Adam's head. And then and Adam goofed it up. It sat on his head as a crown, and it clothed him so that he wasn't naked. And as soon as that he sinned, that glory left. And Adam disobeyed it. He sold the earth out to Satan. He died spiritually, and the glory left. And you know, why did Adam hide from God's presence? You know, in fear. Adam's sin was passed, and it was passed down to all of us. This is very significant, actually. Now, I want to go over some other things. Well, who you are now, though. First of all, I got such messed up notes here. Anyway, let's go to the Amplified, Romans 5:17. Well, you know what? On second thought, put it in King James. It's easier to understand, actually, sometimes.
This says it all.
Mm-hmm. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, who was that? By one man's?
Adam.
By Adam, but for if by one man's offense, who was Adam, death reigned by just one person. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that's us, right? Shall reign, R-E-I-G-N, rule in life by one Jesus Christ. Okay, so it says Jesus put us in righteousness. He put us in right standing with God the Father. And we reign by him with dominion and authority, and we are to take it. We're supposed to rule, and we're supposed to take that authority. I'll give you another scripture, I guess, later here. But, okay, Philippians 3:20, I want to put that up there, too. Now, that one, yeah, okay. Okay, out of the Amplified, you got it? Yep, okay. But we are citizens of the state, the commonwealth, the homeland, which is in heaven. Yep. Right now, you're a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
Remember, we even sang that. You're a new nation.
Yes.
And from it, from heaven, we earnestly and patiently await for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. But you have to realize you're a citizen of a new kingdom. And in that kingdom, you are kings. Do you know that? You're a king. You are. It actually says that in the Bible. That's why we always sing King, capital K-I-N-G, of little kings, capital little of kings. He said the king, he's the king of all of us kings who are born again.
That's right.
He's the Lord, and then it says we're lords because we take dominion on the earth. We're supposed to. He's the Lord of all of us lords. See, it's in that king. We are kings because we have authority and we have dominion. And Jesus is the king of all of us kings. And all, we sing it all the time. And the Lord of all of us lords. But you got to take that lordship. You got to take your kingship by taking dominion and authority on the earth. Okay, Romans 23. This is a common scripture that people use to witness to other people. No, Romans 3, 23. Mm-hmm. In the King James, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Right? Adam's sin passed down to all of us, and we came short of the glory of God. In the Amplified, it says it this way, "Since all have sinned and are falling short of the honor and glory which God bestows and receives." Now, a lot of people stop with that scripture, but you have to go on to verse 24. In the King James, it says, okay, I'll read 23 with it. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, just as if you had never sinned, freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." All in the Amplified, it says, we came short of the glory of God, but now all are justified and made upright and in right standing with God freely and gratuitously by his grace through the redemption which is provided. But it doesn't say that all are. It says through the redemption. You have to get redeemed first. You have to get born again first. But so many people say we all come short of the glory of God, and they stop right there. But there's redemption too. So, okay, see, he's the captain of our salvation, and he brought many sons to glory. Now, remember, I mean, as many as received, and this is John 1:12. Don't put it up there, though. It says, "As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons and daughters of God." And that's what made me so upset, because nobody told me that. And I go to church all the time. That was a denomination. They never told you that, because they didn't know it either. No. And so I went, what? You got to receive him. You know, as many as received him. That's huge. Simple little word, receive. See, okay, they can be brought, many sons can be brought into the full presence of the glory of God. Now, so because man fell, and all mankind in the earth came under the curse. But God had a plan. Now, okay, I've got here 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20, I think it is. Let's go there. I know I'm jumping around with scriptures, but, you know, and some people say, why don't you just stick, you know what? When you start doing this, you come to a higher place. You can follow some, bung, 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 but you look here and there, and you run to the Old Testament, and there's all this proof of all this stuff. Now it's getting... Okay, Peter, John. I have to go. Okay. What was my... Okay, 18 through 23. You must know and recognize that you were redeemed. You were ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living, inherited by tradition from your forefathers, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. It is true that he was chosen and foreordained, destined and foreknown before the foundations of the world, but he was brought out to public view and made manifest in these last days, at the end of times. Just think when they read when they wrote that, they thought it was the end of times. For the sake of you. Okay, now I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. Okay, I wrote it down. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from a empty life you inherited from Adam. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him for this purpose long before the world began. But now in these final days, he was sent to earth for all to see, and he paid this for you. And he, there's just such good stuff. Okay, so God had a plan of redemption, and he washed man in the blood of the Lamb. See, they had to keep killing lambs all the time for their sins, or killing animals, because blood was the only thing that could at least set them free for the time being. But for once and for all, the perfect Lamb of God came. So it was, and so once again, we could be in God's presence, his power, his goodness, his glory. And he came to cleanse the earth to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. And that was over 2,000 years ago, and it still ain't. Because religion has gotten in there, and a lack of teaching. That's why we've got to tell people this stuff. That's why you've got to get this. See, the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory. He came to earth and then gave it to us. He lives in us. See, the glory of God dwelt in a tabernacle with us in the body of Jesus. It isn't just Christmas. This is a great celebration. And if we receive him, he becomes Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now let's go to Colossians 1, 26 through 28. The mystery, which was hidden for ages and generations from angels and men, but is now revealed to his holy people, the saints. Who are the saints? Why? Because you're born again. Okay, he gave it to the saints, to whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in us. Christ within and among you, the hope of glory, the hope of realizing that glory. Him we preach and proclaim, are we? Warning and admonishing everyone and instructing everyone in all wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. That why are we doing, why should we do that? So we can present every person mature, fully grown, fully initiated, complete and perfect in Christ, the anointed one. And in all honesty, we all shall be able to say the next verse. For this labor unto weariness, striving with all superhuman energy, which he so mightily enkindles and works within us. It should be, we should do it. That should be our main thing in our life. Main thing. Making money ain't. And you know what? It's Christmas time. I'm starting to see people who just think of money. You know what? And you need to be grateful, like what somebody gave you. Like John's dad bringing that. You need to. I'm going to get a card because we need to be grateful to each other for what. Don't take it for granted, because that's when you stop any more from coming. So really, all of this is the real meaning of Christmas. Jesus in you, the hope of glory. And who is Jesus Christ? The Christ, the anointing, the anointed one. You know, Jesus was really born in September. Some people make the hugest deal out of it. Who cares? As long as he was born. You know, you know what? One time I figured that out and I thought, I think he was conceived in December. If you count, it's 9 months to September. But you know what? Who cares? We're celebrating Jesus. Some countries are forbidden to even mention his name. So it's good to celebrate because he humbled himself from the streets of gold to come to earth to give you back the glory. So anyway, there weren't any vacancies, and he stayed below. I mean, well, there wasn't any. There was upper room, we found out on Sunday, and below that, every house had a stable underneath it to protect the animals that were kind of weak, anyway, from the elements of the weather. So you know what? That's where he was born, and he was born in that cement manger. I mean, it was put into there with swaddling clothes. And the angels told the shepherds of the birth. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. And the angels spoke and said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." Woo-hoo! Do you know what? The Greek for "I bring you tidings," the Greek word for that means evangelism. Isn't that ironical? Announce means evangelize it. So when we celebrate Christmas, you're not just celebrating the birth of a baby. You're celebrating the re-entry of God's glory through his incarnate son. And what does incarnate mean? He can live. Now he came to live in us. You know what? His first coming was full of glory, and his second coming will be surpassed by far greater glory. But you know what? We all have to ask ourselves, are you ready?
Are you really ready? Yeah.
You know, you can be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we can say get born again, but you've got to, most of you are here. But you know what? You need to give him your whole life. This is something to think about in 22. I mean, honestly, the way the world is going and the things that are happening, Jesus is coming back this time soon. You know what? And the glory of God's deposited in you. Oh, and when you yield to his spirit and you pray in the spirit, we're talking in tongues. There's another scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:18 out of the Amplified.
Oh, yeah, this is the big This is it. In the Amplified today.
Mm-hmm. Amplified, yeah, only. Yep.
It says the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, because some people just get born again, do the same old blasted thing they were doing in the flesh, in the world. You've got to get rid of that stuff, all of it. We're in a dangerous time. The enemy is looking for a crack to attack. A crack to attack. He is. Okay. And all of us with an unveiled face. This is not veiled from us anymore. Well, I don't understand it. Well, come on, get on the stick. Start reading the Bible. Get spirit-filled. You get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you will understand it. Start saying the Ephesian prayer over and over. Fill me, Lord. Flood my heart with light. I beseech you, God. I beg of you to give me revelation, knowledge of this word. How many times have I said that? Over and over and over. And I mean it. And we're getting it. Okay, and all of us with an unveiled face, it isn't hidden from us anymore. Because we continue to behold, this is how you get it, in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we see ourselves. But this is what we have to do, is look in this mirror, the mirror of the Word, and pretty soon you start changing like God. I've even seen, when we were in prison ministry, I saw people's, like a woman's face, she looked so old when she, and as she got more and more godly, she got prettier and prettier and better and better. It says, as in a mirror, the glory of God, we are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. But see, if you don't get in the Word, it's not going to, you're going to become a Christian. You're going to go to a lower place when you go. And the more you get into this Word, the more the glory is going to shine on you. So the Holy Spirit will start to change you from one degree of glory to another. And then, you know what? On a soon coming appointed day, the heavens will declare the glory of God even in your body. I'm going to read Philippians 3, 20 and 21 again. Did we ever? Yeah, we did read it, don't we? Yeah. Okay. For our citizenship is in heaven, for when we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like His glorious body. According to the working where He is able even to subject all things to Himself. You know why? He's waiting for us to put all things under His feet. Amen. I have, okay. So, I mean, you know, this is something, if you're not moving on with God, and if you don't have God-given goals and dreams in your heart that you're really striving and doing with all your heart to accomplish, to try to get to a better place, and I can assure you of this, you're going to stay unhappy. Things aren't going to work out right. You're going to be unfulfilled and dissatisfied, because you know what? God made us to increase and grow. And it would be good to write down spiritual goals, yeah, but physical goals, mental goals, all three of them, spirit, soul, and body goals. You know what? And actually say, I'm going to do it. So to just, okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, and we're going to receive communion. And this is out of the Amplified, and it's verse 27. And you know what? It's really important. I've said this many times, every time we receive communion. There's two ways. First of all, I'm going to say this, you discern the body of Christ. The body of Christ is really in two different ways. The body of Christ is literally what happened to His body when He was tortured and died on the cross. He took all of our sins. He was beaten to pieces. You've got to discern that. Look, folks, if you just say, oh, yeah, Jesus died on the cross for me, but you never, ever apply it to your life. He did that. For what reason? So we could be sick all the time, so we could do all this all the time. No, He did it for our healing. He did it to remove the sins, not to go back to what you used to do in the flesh, not to go to the world and get your answers. I'm serious. He wants us to go on with it. Go beyond. Get a... And so do we ever discern the body of Christ? Well, what if you did all that for somebody and they just... Oh, I got born again, now I'm going to heaven. But I'm just going to drink, I'm going to smoke marijuana, I'm going to smoke whatever I'm going to take, heroin and meth and all this stuff, just a little bit once in a while. You know, I'm born again, because if I died, I'd go, you better watch it. I'm serious. This, he did all that so you could be made free. But we got to get rid of the flesh. I've had to, too. We all have to. And you grow into it. But be something for him in this earth. Well, see, that's the body of Christ. It says, by his stripes we're healed. But you have to discern what he did on the cross for you and apply it to your life. And by that, he gave you dominion also. That's another one. Do people really take authority and dominion? You know, if the devil harasses you, say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. You know? I mean, I'm talking to myself too here. Okay, and the other way, the body of Christ is discerned in two ways. That was the first way. The second way is we are the body of Christ. And we've got to watch to stop being accusers of the brethren. We need to be quit judging people or gossiping or whatever. Or sometimes we compare others with ourselves because we have an inferiority complex. And you can't do that. Just, you know what I'm talking about? But you discern the body of Christ because we literally are one. It's the same thing as taking like a knife and saying, I hate you, leg. Cutting your leg to pieces. That's part of your body. And we are the arms, the legs, the hands, the feet, the fingers, the toes, the knees, all this. And you wouldn't beat your part of your body up unless a devil was telling you to do it. But see, we're the body of Christ, and we need everybody. But so here it is. Okay, so then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in a way that is unworthy of him will be guilty of profaning and sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he has done so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation that it really is Christ's body, eats Christ's body in two ways. What he did on the cross for us and people. He eats and drinks a sentence, a verdict of judgment upon himself. That careless and unworthy participation is the reason why many of you are weak and sickly, and quite enough of you have fallen into the sleep of death and have died. Actually, it means died prematurely. For if we searchingly examined ourselves, detecting our shortcomings and recognizing our own condition, we would not be judged and penalty decreed by divine judgment. And when we fall short and are judged by the Lord, we're disciplined and chastened, but not by sickness and disease. The devil puts that on you because you open the door to him. So that we may not finally be condemned to eternal punishment with the world. What was I going to say about that? I had all kinds of things going through my mind. Okay. Oh, but this is the good news. All you have to do is say. Is repent. 1 John 1:9. And I'm going to, you better put that up there too. 1 John 1:9. And Peter. No wonder it didn't make. Oh, that's because I'm that's okay. Fold it over. Let me read it out. I mean, we say this all the time. If you confess your sins And you know, let's just take a few minutes right now.
Sure.
You know, it says that if you confess your sins, really confess them, be honest.
Yeah.
God is faithful. He is just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And now don't go on some guilt trip because of what I said either. Because if you go on a guilt trip, that's sin too. So don't go on a guilt trip. Just take it as a matter of faith, not how you feel. That's how you forgive other people too. If you have some unforgiveness towards someone, then, you know, just say as an act of my will in faith, I forgive them, Lord. And it's done. I don't care. Faith does not go by what it feels. Faith goes by what the word says. So, you know, you say, Lord, forgive me for holding a grudge, holding unforgiveness toward that person. And as an act of my will, in obedience to your word, I ask you to forgive me, and I believe it's done. And you said that you would restore me to righteousness and forgive my sin. I believe that it's done.
Amen.
Amen. Out of the Amplified, it says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he's faithful to us. He's just to us, true to his own nature, and promises. That's a promise. And will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will and purpose, thought, and action. You know, the next verse actually says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It is true. Well, actually, it's if you turn from it. Yeah.
Put it up there.
28:13 Proverbs. Mm-hmm.
That is more so. The same thing.
Mm-hmm. See, we need to turn from it. Jesus always said, even to the woman, the which one?
Adulterer.
Yeah, the adulterous woman. I couldn't even think of the word. Okay, the adulterous woman, he says, but sin no more. You are forgiven, but sin no more. He said that more than once. Okay, so he who covers his transgression will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes his sins will obtain mercy. Isn't that good? Yeah? That's good. Proverbs 28:13. Mm-hmm. You just admit it. I mean, you can commit adultery and say, I mean, if you're married or something, and you can say, I'm not going to confess it. Maybe the Lord didn't see me. He sees everything. He knew it before you. Okay, so we'll pass out the elements. Yeah, we'll pass out. And now how we do it here is, if you want somebody to bring it to you, it's fine also, but otherwise we each will take it. And you can play some song if you can find one. Okay. So, okay, Ken. So you have to... broke it. And the reason he broke it, it was a big loaf, and it took off pieces. That loaf represented the body of Christ, and all the pieces were the individuals who made up the loaf. So... and it says, he said, he broke it and he said, take and eat, for this is my body. See, discern what he did on the cross and the body of Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's receive that together. And you know what? This is the time for your healing. If you need healing in your body, receive it. And after the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, "This cup is the New Testament." Whew, a better testament than the old. "In my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And it actually, that blood remitted, blotted out, wiped away our sins. Now, when we sin now, though, we still need to ask God for forgiveness, though, like we did. And that's something, you know, to know, but also know that this is healing, all of it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, maybe, is there any song that we could sing the last? What? Oh. Okay, you got a song. Okay. Yeah. Okay, who's doing it? You're doing it? Well, okay. Who's
the offering, dear.
Okay, yeah, I know. But whoever, while she gets the song ready, why don't you all sit down and listen again.
Hello. Okay, you don't have to put anything up there. Just make this quick, okay, because it's getting late. But she said 2 Corinthians 3:18. But it's, the reason why I'm giving it now is because it says, as we hold in the word, as in the mirror, we are being changed constantly. Constantly changed in the very own image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord, which is the Spirit. We're going from different degrees, one to another. So, it's a process. We have to be changing. We can't stay the same you were when you got born again. You should be going. In this church, you're going to go to a different degree. 1 John 2:16 says this. 2:6 says this. As we abide in his word, we are being trained up to walk and conduct ourselves as he walked and conducted himself. That's what we're being trained in this church to do. Because it says in John, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so we in this world. So we should be mirroring him in this world. So this is the year of the local church. But I have a feeling in my spirit today, in 2022, this is the year of the glorious church. God has placed his church in this city under Pastor Jackie and Pastor Ken. To walk and talk and go to the highest degree of glory that we can. So Romans 8:18 says this. Paul said, to consider the suffering of this present time. Look what we're going through. This present life are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us, in us, for us, and conferred on us. We're going to different degrees of glory in this church. You need to get under this pastor and start paying attention to what she's saying. Yes. Because we are prayer. The prayers, we pray with her on Tuesdays. And we know her heart. We see her desire. Her it's almost overwhelming her with the want of this take to go to a higher degree of glory. But we've all got to go with her. You know, if you're not going to, then why are you even here if you're not going to go to different degrees of glory? If you're not going to pay attention and follow what she says, because she's being led by the Holy Ghost. God is preparing this church, this body, the church body, to move into a highest degree of glory that has never been up until now. So Pastor has this consuming desire for a greater glory. We prayers know this, and our desire has become our desire. It needs to be your desire too. Let us show our appreciation by showing her by sowing into her birthday offering, and give the best you can in appreciation for what she does. Amen. Envelope. Hold your offerings up then when you get them ready. Everybody ready? This is the offering we're sowing to pastor. And we do it with a glad, joyful heart in appreciation for what you've given us. You've given us two people, Pastor Jackie and Pastor Ken, that do compromise. And they're trying to get different to use glory of another image of Christ. The message today was about glory too. You're trying to get us into that higher place. So if you sow this offering to Pastor Jackie, we're doing it out of our hearts, Father. We thank you to give this finance, this money to her as a gift. We thank you, Father, that you're going to bless everyone back. And every one of this place is going to become and do what God's called them to do in this church. But it's through appreciation that we give this to Pastor Jackie, Father. We ask you to bless every person as they give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.